Good morning. Welcome to the Stutzman's Home and Garden Show. I'm Dave Wilson. Jason French is here, of course, to answer your lawn and garden questions this morning. The number to call, 316-869-1330, area code 316-869-1330. You can also send that question to the KNSS Facebook page as well. Hey, good morning, Jason.
Hey, good morning. It's a beautiful morning out.
It is. Another beautiful morning for us here in the fall. And it looks like you guys have a lot going on this weekend at Stutzman's.
We do. I mean, it's kind of that time of year. We get into, mid-October. We've got all of the later season mums just coming into bloom right now. And all of the different pumpkins, jack-o'-lanterns, gourds, all of those things. A lot of people picking those out in preparation for Halloween. And so lots of good things, maybe some pansies to plant, all kinds of things we could do this weekend.
Yeah, all those beautiful fall plants. You're going to find those there at Stutzman's, of course. We just heard a story about Halloween costumes for our pets. Have you ever seen some good gardening costumes for Halloween? Like maybe somebody going as a mum or a pansy or something?
I don't know that I have. I have to look into that. That would be might be a good one to come up with some kind of plant-related thing.
Yeah, absolutely. Or maybe somebody can go as Louie the Cat there, the Stutzman's mascot.
Yeah. If you can lay around and do nothing all day, you'd be perfect for that.
Exactly. Hey, let's talk about the pumpkins. What are some things we could be doing to keep our gourds gorgeous, Jason?
You know, there are a few things you can do. When you're picking these things out, of course, remember, they're grown outside right here in Kansas. So, I mean, they've been touching the dirt, things like that. So, you know, for them to last the longest, you know, you want to gently wash them off. Another thing that's really kind of easy to do is just, and you can mix up some ounce of bleach in a gallon of water, or a lot of people have those little like Clorox wipes, and if you just wipe that outside of that thing really good, that gets rid of all of those little fungus bodies and things that might be on it, because what happens is you get a little ding or a little spot on the pumpkin, well then those fungus bodies, they get in there and then they start that bad spot and all. But if we can do that and keep it kind of clean to start with, you know, a lot of those will last an incredibly long time, and you know, some of the gourds and things even will dry, and you can use them for different art projects and different things like that after they're dry. But that's a really good way just to start with all of your pumpkins and gourds.
Something we like to do when our kids were younger is open them up, take the seeds out, throw those in the oven, and made a nice little snack.
Oh, I like some roasted pumpkin seeds. Yeah, wash off all the good goo off of them, but put them on a baking sheet while they're still kind of wet. I like to use that kind of coarse salt on them and toast them up. And any kind are really good that way. I didn't even know until later that there are actual varieties that are grown just for the seeds, or the pepitas, I think they're called, and they have a bigger, greener looking seed, and you'll see those pumpkin seeds in some of the trail mixes and things. But even just your regular jack-o'-lantern seeds are great. That's what we always did.
Yeah, delicious stuff there. So on the Stutzman's Facebook page, I saw an article there with pumpkin carving tips. What are some of those that we should keep in mind and follow?
Yeah, you know, and that same kind of thing we were just talking about, you know, with the wiping them down, cleaning them up and all. And, you know, once you're done, a little spray or a little dunk in that water will help them to last a little bit. But, you know, some of the things to think about, I mean, some of them I think are kind of obvious, but we don't always think about it. When, if you're cutting the top off and, you know, having the hole at the top for cleaning it out, you know, you want to be sure and have that knife kind of angled. And then I always leave a little weird bump or make it not perfectly round so that it's easy to see where it fits back on there. But if you make it kind of cone-shaped, it won't drop in. If you make the cut perfectly straight, once you scrape it, that cap can fall back in. But, and then scraping it is going to be needed usually for at least the side where you're going to carve it. You'll want to scrape the whole thing to get the seeds and the pulp out of it, but then a lot of times where you're going to carve it, if it's thick, you can use the edge of that spoon or an ice cream scoop, something like that, and scrape that area where you're going to carve a little bit thinner so you don't have quite as much to do with that. And then if you can, either carefully in your lap or on a table, if you can lay it more flat when you're carving, it'll be a lot easier to get your knife or your carving tool straight up and down when you're cutting and not at a weird angle. And that'll make your cuts and your design look a lot neater as well. And a lot of times when you get done, if you take some Vaseline and just rub it on those cut areas, that kind of seals it off to the air so it doesn't lose water quite as fast and they don't turn into a toothless looking jack-o'-lantern right away where they shrivel up. But, and even if that does happen, if you have a bucket just with some nice cool water in it, if you can soak it in that for several hours, a lot of times that'll rehydrate that shrunkenness and stop that and can kind of help your pumpkin last a little longer. One thing sometimes people don't think about, you don't necessarily have to cut the top off. If you're doing a design or something that comes clear up, you can cut that hole in the back just as easily and scoop it all out and do it that way too. So a lot of different ways with doing jack-o'-lanterns. I know when my kids were a little younger, we used to get some of those different kits with the stencils you put on there, and you could make all kinds of neat jack-o'-lantern pumpkins out of it. So that's always something kind of fun that I've enjoyed.
Yeah, a lot of fun stuff there with when it comes to carving up the pumpkins. And again, you can see this list and get some ideas on the Stutzman's Facebook page. A lot of great info right there. Let's get a Facebook question here from Emily. She is asking today, what should I do to the crabgrass that's in my yard right now?
Well, mostly I would just, keep everything mowed and trimmed and done. What's going to happen with crabgrass, foxtail, several of those grassy weeds, they are an annual. So just like our petunia and some of our other annual flowers, when we get a good frost or freeze, it's going to kill that off. So those actual plants, they will die in the winter. They won't be there next year. So, you may have some brown tufts and chunks where they were if you want to, pull them up after that happens. If there's just a little here and there, that's fine. But the nice thing is they're going to be dead. And then in March and then again in May, if we put the crabgrass preventer on there, we can stop them from sprouting. So, at least as annoying and obnoxious as that crabgrass is, it's not a perennial. So that same plant we don't have to worry about next year.
All right. The number for your question about your lawn or garden today, 869-1330. That's area code 316-869-1330. You can call with your question. And don't forget, you can also send it to the KNSS Facebook page this morning as well. And we have Kevin. Kevin has called in this morning. Good morning. What's your question for Jason, sir? Kevin, are you there? I don't think we have Kevin anymore. All right. We'll just move on. Again, the number, 316-1330. Is 869-1330. Let's talk about leftover seeds, Jason. If we've got some of those, are those going to grow next year?
A lot of it depends on the kind of seed that it is. Bigger seeds, especially, beans, corn, sunflower, things that have a larger seed, I really don't have any issue if you've got someplace cool, dry, doesn't have to be cold, just, house in the house, but put them either in I use an envelope, paper envelope, and just close it all up and put them somewhere like I have a little file cabinet drawer. I just stick them in, and the temperature doesn't change a whole lot in there over the year. And they're usually all good the next year. Some of the real smaller seeds, if the package has been opened, lettuce, for an example, for me, that one is one that hasn't lasted very well. But I will tell you, some of the pepper and tomato seeds, if it's a variety I really like, I've, you know, just plant what I need each year. And some of those I've kept, you know, 2 and 3 years and still have them very viable. As we start getting older, a lot of times I'll put 2 seeds in instead of one, figuring, you know, if they both come up, I can pinch one off and let the other one grow. But they do have a little lesser germination as they age. But really, most everything, if I used it this year, I wouldn't be too concerned about using it next year. Now, if you're the seed company, they have a whole different idea, and I get that. They have to have, you know, certified new seed each year at a certain germination rate. But, you know, for us doing it at home, I've had no issues for a year or two on most seed.
All right, good information there about leftover seeds. Let's try Kevin again. Hey, thanks for calling this morning, Kevin. What's your question for Jason?
Hey, good morning, Jason. Hey, you're talking about pumpkins, and just curiosity, if just a pumpkin is a pumpkin, or are there varieties that you can, what we do is actually, you know, at the, after, you know, Halloween and all that's over, pumpkins will sit on the porch, and what I actually do is I'll put out, like, on a message or something, if anybody's got any pumpkins that they're just going to trash, that they haven't been carved, what I do is actually take a knife and cut them, I don't know, vertically, kind of like you would a potato or something like that. And we put them in boiling water and get the meat out of them. And some of them, I'm just wondering if a pumpkin's just a pumpkin or if there's a variety. Have you ever done that where you just take the meat out of them?
Oh, absolutely. And almost, well, pretty much all of the pumpkin squash family are edible, but yeah, there are some that are much better. They're smaller, look like regular jack-o'-lantern pumpkins, but they're smaller and rounder, and they're a pie pumpkin, real thick wall to them. They're a lot sweeter for, you know, baking and cooking kinds of things. There's some of the other ones. There's a kind of a big gray one that I like that's round and real ribbed, but it's a real more meaty one, so it makes really good soup or roasted or things like that. So, yeah, they're all edible. They're all a pumpkin is a pumpkin, but you will find different ones have slightly different flavors, or some might be a little sweeter than others. But, yeah, that's a great use for, and, you know, pumpkin is extremely healthy for you, so that's a added bonus to it as well.
Yeah, they're even finding pumpkin seeds are very good for parasites. We all have parasites in our body, and that's what a lot of, like, your cancers and just problems, diabetes, I've even heard, were parasites. So, yeah, my wife, she does casseroles with them, you know, the cookies, and my gosh, we got a freezer pull out here. So,
well, that's good. It's good for you. And if you haven't had her make it, have, you know, do some soup sometime, a savory soup. It doesn't, you know, always have to be the sweet things, but that's been really good with some of those squashes.
Well, I even told her to put some pumpkin pie spice in there, and that's really good, you know, for soup.
That'd be good too. Yeah, absolutely.
Oh my gosh. If you love pumpkin pie like I do, you know, not, you know, minus the whipped cream, but it's just a really good soup, and yeah, that's some good stuff.
Well, that sounds good. But yeah, all of those can be used for that. And the only, when you get into like the gourds, the hard rind ones, they're really not edible. So,
right.
But any of those other types, they're all edible to, you know, some degree or another.
All right. Very good. Thanks, sir.
Thank you.
Kevin, thank you for your call. And Jason, I got to tell you now, I'm pretty hungry after all this talk about pumpkin. All these great pumpkin dishes, man, there's so many to choose from.
There are, and, you know, that's another thing we don't always talk about as much. We talk about the decorating and the carving and all of that, but, you know, those were a really main food staple, you know, long ago. You could take some of those, you know, Blue Hubbard squash, and they'd put it in the root cellar and, you know, have those to eat on clear until, you know, February or March, and give you something to eat on through the winter time. So they are a very good and healthy food source as well. So, yeah, kind of glad Kevin called to bring up the eating side of all the pumpkins.
Yeah, exactly. Good stuff right there. The number for your question this morning is 316-869-1350. 7:30. Susan is called with a question. Good morning, Susan. What's your question for Jason?
Good morning. I've really enjoyed listening to all the questions about pumpkins and about fall, and so I'm going to stay along that line. Love it when the leaves start turning and then they start falling, and, you know, love the leaf piles in the yard, but wonder, should we leave those down for mulch? Do we rake them? What do we do?
Well, there's several options. The one thing you really don't want to do if it's on grass is you don't want to just leave the whole leaf flat sitting there through the winter. As they get wet, they'll mat up and they'll block the sunlight and they'll kill patches in the grass. So, me personally, I don't like to rake, and I figure that's organic matter. So, even after my lawn's pretty much done growing, when I get quite a few leaves on it, I'll raise my blade up a little bit higher and just mow over them and blow them out into smaller pieces, and that'll break down over the winter and help my soil, things like that. But they certainly, you could rake them and remove them as well. But whatever we do, we just don't want to leave that wet pile on there through the wintertime.
And what about for the garden areas? Is that the same thing?
Same type of thing. And they can be chopped like that, even, you know, off the lawn or wherever, if you want to collect them. And that can be put into the garden and worked in. And, you know, those smaller pieces are going to break down over the winter pretty easily, being that they're already dead brown material. You don't have to wait for that green to break down in them. But again, you don't want that whole big leaf. They'll layer up and not break down like you want. But yes, mow them, chop them, use them for mulches and turn them in like that. It's, you know, all the nutrition that tree took out of the soil and used to form those leaves, you know, if you can return it back to it, you're just building your soil as opposed to depleting your soil.
It definitely makes sense. Thank you so much. Love your show. Wish you were on year round. Learned so much. Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you for the call this morning, Susan. You're listening to the Stutzman's Home and Garden Show. If you've got a question about your lawn or garden, you could call us at 316-869-1330. That's 316-869-1330. You can also send that question to the KNSS Facebook page. We're going to get a Stutzman's update right now from Ben Miller.
Good morning, everyone. Hi, this is Ben Miller. Thanks for listening to today's broadcast of the Stutzman's Home and Garden Show. More with Jason coming up. Fall is officially here, and we love the cooler temperatures as we transition to fall decor. What a wonderful time to decorate the front porch or patio. Stutzman's has a great selection of miniature and traditional straw bales, corn shocks, and a huge selection of miniature, funky, and traditional pumpkins. Tie it all together with beautiful asters or our large selection of stunning mums starting at $4.99. It's also time to plant pansies, mix and match full flats, 18 pots for only $20 while supplies last. We love fall and invite you to the Stutzman's Garden Center nearest you. We hope to see you soon at one of our 12 garden centers today, and find out more at Stutzman.com or on Facebook. Again, this is Ben Miller. Have a wonderful day. We look forward to the cool weather and all the beautiful change that comes with fall. Now back to Jason and the Home and Garden Show, brought to you by Stutzman's Greenhouse and Garden Centers.
And you're listening to the Stutzman's Home and Garden Show. I'm Dave Wilson. Jason French is here from Stutzman's. To answer your lawn and garden questions at 316-869-1330. Got, let's see, just about 7 minutes left in the show today to get to your question. Clint has a Facebook question here, Jason. He is asking, when is the best time to cut back perennials?
Yeah, that's a good question. We're at that time of year for most of them. The plant itself will tell us some. I was looking this morning. I was watering a couple of my annual containers out front before I came into work, and was looking at my peonies that are right there, and, you know, they're kind of starting to lay down. They're starting to get some dark spots on the leaves, and, you know, that tells me they're going into dormancy, and so I can go ahead and trim those things back. You know, if it's still real green and leafy and vigorous looking. We probably want to wait a little bit on some of those, but yeah, this is time of year to begin that, and it's also time if we were going to be dividing some of those things. Maybe our clumps of daylilies are getting kind of big, or some of the iris are getting a little thick. It's a great time to thin some of those things out and get them replanted as well. Our soil temperatures are really nice and warm. It's still mid to upper 60s on the soil temperature, so when we do replant and do some of that, they're going to settle in, and we've had good soil moisture, so things aren't stressed out. But most of that stuff, you know, over the next few weeks, we can start doing all of those. There's a few plants I usually don't trim back until early in the springtime. And that would be like my roses. I'll take off any long stuff that's going to break over the winter time, but I wait till spring to really cut them back. And my crepe myrtles, I usually wait till spring to trim those back. And then the few that you don't trim in the fall, the white spirea, the lilacs, forsythia, some of those, but all of our perennials, trees, all of the other bushes and things, you know, early fall is a great time to be pruning and cleaning and shaping them all up.
Clint, thank you for your question this morning. If you've got one, you can do what Clint did and send it to the KNSS Facebook page. You can also call us at 316-869-1330. When it comes to fall seeding, Jason, is pre-emergent necessary for that?
Now, if we're seeding, we want to stay away from a pre-emergent, because what it does is it prevents things from emerging. Well, we want the seed to emerge if it's grass seed. If we're not putting grass seed down, then yeah, pre-emergent in the fall is going to be very helpful for future weeds. But still a good time to be seeding. I did some seeding earlier this year and a few weeks back, and it's coming up pretty nice, looks good, but I did notice, and I think it was from some of the heavier rains that we had, I've got a few spots that I had some washout, so, you know, even this weekend I'll go out and scratch those spots up a little bit and thicken the seed up in those areas. But perfect time to be doing seeding still on there. But with the seed, we want to be sure and just use sometimes they're called Nuon starter or a starter fertilizer, or, you know, just something that's just a plain fertilizer for it. With that new seed, that root's not very deep in the soil, so it doesn't have much access to nutrition in the soil. So putting a little bit on top kind of while we're seeding helps ensure they have good nutrients right there at the soil surface with them. But great time to go out and still be doing some overseeding and seeding.
Now, I know we've been stuck in kind of a warmer weather pattern. It's almost felt like summer here in October. So when should we start thinking about clearing out our vegetable garden for winter?
You know, again, I would kind of let the plants tell me. Most of my tomato plants have kind of finished up, and I've started pulling some of those out. I have some that look pretty nice, have some green tomatoes, and probably do some green sauce later with them. But, you know, a lot of that stuff, as it starts to, you know, getting the yellow leaves and looking like it's dormant, you know, that's a good time just to kind of start clearing all of that up. If you're the real ambitious type, you know, you may wait a few weeks and do the whole thing at once. For me, it's easier while I'm out there just to take care of some of that as we go. But definitely that time of year, and I would stress, if you do have tomatoes growing in your garden, when they're done, that's the one plant that I pull out of my garden and I throw it away. It doesn't go in the compost pile. It doesn't go back in the garden. Just because we have so many disease issues in Kansas with tomatoes, any of that debris that I can remove from the tomato, I do. The other stuff, you know, compost it up, let it go back into the garden for soil improvement, but get rid of the old tomato plants.
All right. We've got Doug with us. Doug, you've got just about a minute here to ask your question to Jason. What do you want to know today?
Okay. Yeah. Good morning. I've got a filamentous yucca. A couple of those, and I was wondering if you should cut those back all the way, like back, kind of back to the core, to the ground surface, or just let them go. They seem to do okay, not doing anything, but what's best?
Yeah, they're really, unless there's a problem with them, there's really no need to trim or cut them back. They'll just continue on with that growing point out the center and do their thing. You know, if they've had a problem, they can be cut, and usually they'll regrow pretty well from the base. But otherwise, I just tend to let them be and just remove, you know, leaves as needed.
Sometimes the leaves get kind of, the shape of them, they get bent over, out of shape, and you just pluck those out or cut those out?
I would take a pair of clippers and just follow them down and just clip out some of those weird growing ones, yes.
All right, Doug, thank you so much for your question. And thanks to everyone for all your questions this morning on the Stutzman's Home and Garden Show. Jason, a lot of great info this week. We'll talk to you next Saturday, all right?
Sounds good. Thanks. Have a good weekend.
You do the same. Then thank you for listening today to the Stutzman's Home and Garden Show. You can listen each and every Saturday morning at 10 o'clock. Next Saturday, our final show of the season. So get your questions ready for Jason then. And remember, when you see something that's small, red, and whispers, it's probably a horseradish.